This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
You're listening to the Full Time Report with Abe Gordon. The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, welcome back into Atlanta, the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for the Full Time Report. It's Abe Gordon here and Nick Alifi of Soccer down here, and we're going to break it all down. This was certainly not the result that we all were hoping for, but this was always going to be a possibility. I mean, we talked to you about it beforehand. This is not the Charlotte team you just walk into and walk out of with a victory. This is a top five team from last year that added a significant piece from the Premiership to the attack, who made his debut today and made it known that he was going to be an impact today. And this all while dealing with issues at the back. And that was obviously what jumped out, partially out of your control because of injuries, and partially some mistakes were made. But Nick, there is a long way of the season to go. And I have been very adamant to be patient early on, because this is a team that is going to be forced to grow.
Yes.
Because of all the additions in the front. Mm-hmm. And now today, because of all the new pieces that were being moved around in the back, this is not your finest effort. And that's okay, but it also came on the road against one of your bigger rivals in a game that we've kind of blown up. And three goals in the opener, you build up and you build up and you build up all these things. It all came crashing down. This is where the season starts, is today after this loss.
Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about one thing that we covered in the pregame show, and that is that you said that this in your mind was the biggest rivalry, correct?
Yes.
Well, Charlotte treated it that way
today. Yes.
So before we cover anything with Atlanta United, we have to talk about what Charlotte did well today. Charlotte put long balls accurate down the field. Some key bounces. They didn't have a ton of chances, but they capitalized on the chances that were given over by Atlanta United. Their midfield did an exceptional job shutting down Atlanta's attack, the ability to move the ball between the lines. And not just that, how often did we hear Almiron and Latelat's name today? As far as advancing,
I think the only time I heard it was when they were being subbed out.
Yeah.
And I got some hot takes on that as well. We're going to get to that over the course of the show. But look, the offensive explosion that we saw against Montreal, very good defense from Charlotte. That didn't change. Just because they added up front doesn't mean what they've got in the back is going to be a disaster. Right. That wasn't any different. Does it travel today? It didn't.
No, it that's the thing, is that the attack did not travel for whatever reason, and we're going to get into that. But one thing I definitely want to talk about is that Charlotte came out. In the beginning, it looked like we were a half a stone's throw away from another jailbreak Atlanta United attack, right?
Right.
It looked like everything was going in our favor. We just have to break past that final little barrier to get the ball across the line. Did not happen. Now, you could talk about maybe some calls in the beginning didn't go our way. Maybe there's some early discouragement there. But in the second half, when those adjustments came down by Charlotte FC, Atlanta did not respond correctly. Whatever Atlanta's idea was coming out of the tunnel for the second half, it didn't translate on the field at all. And it looked like it was just Charlotte's game from then on. And I would like to know kind of what the idea was there. How did that shake out? What happened in the locker room? Was it we're going to keep doing the same thing, or we're going to switch things up? I need to know what the second half adjustments are going to be going forward.
And there's a couple of questions that have to be asked. And the first aspect of this is, unlike against Montreal, you don't convert in the first half.
Correct.
You dominated against Montreal. You finally got one a couple of minutes before the whistle, and you go into halftime with the lead. In this situation, that doesn't happen. And no matter how well you think you played, everything is flattened out and it restarts. Now, you come out of halftime, and this is two games, and we've got two examples where you are not ready for the start of the second half. You were not ready, and you conceded against Montreal. You were able to fight your way back. You were at home. Maybe you were buoyed by your own crowd. In the first couple of minutes, though, a week ago, you concede.
Yep.
Now, within, what, 10 minutes, you concede twice.
Yes.
And I don't want it to be – it's two games. We're not at a trend or a pattern just yet, but questions have to be asked. And so I think that's right now my biggest concern, because I turned to you at halftime. It's like, man, it's a bummer we didn't convert there, but, like, now we have to deal with the other side of this, which a week ago didn't go well, and today went even worse.
Yeah, I was far more optimistic coming into the second half, and you accurately called it. Look, if I'm wrong, I want to say I'm wrong, and I was wrong on this particular aspect. I thought that Atlanta would come out and that the momentum from the first half would carry over. I felt that Charlotte was on their heels and that they would respond by remaining that way. Say, hey, look, we're trying to blunt this attack. We need to drop back. We need to keep the long runs from happening. No. Charlotte came out with knives in their teeth and said, nope, we're fighting our way through this. They did exactly that. And it does not – we all like to get lost in the stats. How many shots do we have? How many – Charlotte did the right thing. They had, what, four shots? Converted two, right? That's all you got to do.
Well, I'll update those for you, because this statistical recap is brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Atlanta held an edge in possession, 54% to 45.8%. Shots in favor of Atlanta, 16-10. Shots on goal in favor of Charlotte, 5-4, with most of those from Atlanta coming in the last 20 minutes when you're already down 2-0. And the XG for Charlotte, almost dead on, 1.9. XG for Atlanta was at a 1, and obviously the AG, actual goals, was at a 0. And I agree with you, and that's what's most frustrating, and we're going to get into it. I'm waiting to see what Ronnie Dyla has to say before I go into my full-on conspiracy theory about some aspects of this game. And I had a conspiracy theory for you pregame, one that you agreed with. I got one for you here postgame. We'll get to that in a little bit. But we also have to be realistic about what happened today for Charlotte to convert twice. And in the 50th minute, Pet Biel gets one. In the 54th minute, Zaha gets one off a rebound. We'll hear those goals in our next segment when we listen to the highlights sponsored by Scana. But we have to be realistic about what these were. This was not a buildup.
No.
This was not a team-created goal with a potent attack of Charlotte. These were two major mistakes made off of relatively innocent balls. They were blind clearances. They were, we're packed in from Charlotte. We're packed in our own third. We got to get the ball out. Let's do it. And they just crush a ball up the field, and a header goes one way. You get a little bit lazy defending because you don't think the ball's coming your way, and that's a goal. Now, on the second one, you misread a bounce. You're poor on your – and I'm speaking directly to Brad Guzan, whether you like it or not. You got to do better with the deflection. Just a weak effort on the save there, and it falls to a guy that they just brought in to convert goals. And so you're down 2-0. You didn't really get punished except for two major mistakes. And so when you talk about what this was, it wasn't like Montreal, who was knocking on the door, knocking on the door, knocking on the door. This was a Charlotte team that took advantage of what you presented to them twice that came from nothing. And how do you prevent that? How do you build from that? This is not, and you talked a lot about communication. I don't know if this was even a breakdown in communication. This was a breakdown in individual moments, right? But how do you even attack this from an improvement standpoint? It's just don't make the mistake, and if you make the mistake, don't let it cost you ultimately. That was something we talked about how many times last year. Ugly pass backwards, stuff like that. It would turn into a goal. Turns into a goal. There are times within games where a midfielder or a defender misplays a bounce.
Yes.
Plenty of times. This time, though, it turned into a goal that opened the floodgates for Charlotte. And you just have to be better. And it's going to be unfortunate because we have to pinpoint certain guys who made mistakes. And that's coming. In our next segment, we're going to have to do that. We're also going to see what Ronnie Dyla has to say. We're going to hit a quick break here on the full-time report. When we come back, man of the match and hopefully some podium sound from Ronnie Dyla. That's coming your way. He is Nick Alifi. I am Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game. Nick Alifi and Abe Gordon here, the full-time report. And before we go on, before I forget, and I have a tendency to get caught up in my emotions, we do need to get to a man of the match. Nick, who do we have? A lot of times it's obvious. Today, a little bit less so. Who are we going with today?
I am going to select Jay Fortune for the man of the match. Pressed into action in unexpected fashion, and then not only had to play in the midfield, then had to drop and play defense as well. That's asking a lot of a young player. He did it admirably. best he could with the conditions given. Jay Fortune, my man of the match.
Yeah, and if you miss what Nick's referring to, I don't know, maybe he would have been in the starting 11 anyways, but Mateus Klick was essentially a pregame scratch, woke up with flu-like symptoms, was removed from the game day roster, and so Jay Fortune was there in the starting lineup next to Bartosz Schlich. So that's what you're referring to. And then late in the game, a litany of subs, and Fortune ends up on the back line and sees the game out from there. Again, 2-0 defeat for Atlanta United. A lot of the things that are going to bother people, because it does start to look the same. And initially, that first thought is the post-halftime drop-off and what's going on there. Something has got to get fixed. And again, I'm going to say this probably the start of every segment you and I do tonight, Nick, is that I have warned you to be patient. You've got a new manager. You've got three new pieces moving around. I still kind of consider Maranchuk a new piece up top. You obviously had to deal with what you're dealing with in the back. It's going to take time before this team is really hitting its stride. And so we're not going to freak out about one road loss, albeit to Charlotte, albeit there were a lot of things you really didn't like to see. Mm-hmm. We're not going to freak out. And so you got to play your best in the playoffs, not in week one, week two, match day one, match day two. So we're going to try and let this team build, but the frustrations are there, right? I mean, you spend all this money, $50 million, right, in the offseason.
Oh, yes.
I believe that we've heard multiple people this week on this show with me, and I'm sure you've heard it around. They have the potential to be the most potent attack in the MLS. I think Jason Longshore said it earlier today in an interview this morning. All right, that didn't happen. You just got shut out. I got to read that we'll do later in the show, that it's a variety of reads. It's a charity. Mm-hmm. One is for clean sheets, and one is for, like, if Charlotte had the same read, they get to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they clean sheeted what is supposed to be one of the most potent, dangerous attacks in the MLS. Mm-hmm. I mean, frustrations are fair right now, but I tried to warn you about this.
Yeah.
I tried to remind you, be patient. Things are going to come. Things are going to happen. This is not your peak. This is where you build from. This is base camp, right? Mm-hmm. This is base camp. You're going to take some steps up to camp one and then backtrack to base camp, and steps up to two and then backtrack to camp one. And, I mean, you know, if you know how alpining works, you will eventually hit the peak. You make your push. And so this is just base camp. This is your baseline. You're going to build from here. It's okay to be frustrated, but understand this is not the finished product either.
No, it's not the finished product, but what a challenge that I have is that the road form for Atlanta United must be solved. And this is not just under this current leadership, but previous leadership along the way.
Right.
Atlanta United has to figure out how to win on the road. And I don't care how much money you spend. I don't care what tactically has to be done, when pretty, when ugly. All of it, all the requirements go out the window. Just win on the road consistently. It's hard to do that in this league. I think we can all agree on that. But I mean, I heard a stat that almost blew my mind earlier. If it was, 15 road wins in the last 5 years, if I remember Mike Conte saying that correctly, that's unacceptable in my mind. That's got to get solved. I don't think that's too much of an ask.
Yeah, and you could obviously start that next time out, because today did not pick up a road win. We're going to hear from the highlights in just a moment. Before we do that, let's go to the post-match podium. Ronnie Dolly was speaking. We have a little bit of his post-match press conference for you right here on the Full Time Report.
Concerning to you about today's performance and result?
Start of the second half. That's the most concerning. I think we played a really good first half. We're playing our way in a stadium that is difficult. It was against a good team. I think the first half was a very good football game to watch for a coach. Maybe not so interesting for a supporter, because it didn't happen so much. But they had zero and we had two quite okay chances. We had some blocks in a little period there, so I was really happy with what we talked about before the game, about being compact and being waiting for opportunities and take them high when we can. But then the second half starts exactly as it started against Montreal. I don't know. We ask now, so you know, we have to find out what's happening there, because we cannot go out in the second half. It can't be fatigue anything when it just happens after 2 minutes. So after our kickoff, they won the ball and they had almost a half chance. So this has to be something we have to do better. And then when we get 1-0 down, I think we lose organization. We lose everybody goes, not everybody, but many goes into their shells. We are not doing what we had talked about, like we did in the first half. And then they get two. And then you make the game really difficult. I think the subs come on and did a good job. I think then we get a little bit more over them. But as a group, we have to learn from these kind of experiences. So we have gone 6 games without losing. So now we lose, and we don't like to do that. And especially not the way, because we were, in my opinion, we were very even with them. We can maybe be a little bit better than them in the first half. And then they win. They deserve to win in the end because of what's happening in the second half.
Do you think it's just bad habits last year that the team just needs to break, or is it something deeper than that?
That's all the future tell. We need to improve all the time with these kind of things. And you learn through experiences. You know, that's the second time now I've seen it. We come away from it last week, and now we didn't do it. It was not that bad. It was last week, because that was in a different way. But we need to, you know, be accountable. Everybody, start with me, and then also the whole team, and improve what we did in the second half, because we are better than that. And we showed that in the first half. And if I didn't see the level, and I've seen it now in 6-7 games in a row now, so I know we have it. But having said that, it's a tough place to come, but it'd be fantastic to have something with us from here. But in the end, we didn't deserve it.
It's Abe Gordon and Nick Leafy back in the Kia studios here, the full-time report. And Nick, you were listening to the comments there, Ronnie Dyla, and you kind of snickered. Oh. Well, what did you hear him say that kind of caught you off guard?
Well, it was more of just acknowledging that the players weren't doing what they talked about. And that seemed to me that, you know, for whatever was transpiring on the field, there's two things that can happen under these stressful situations. One is that you go with what coaching has taught you, or two, you go back with what your gut has taught you. And if what your gut has taught you is not in alignment with the rest of your group, it becomes a mess. And it appeared to me that there were times today where that occurred, where it was a mess on the field.
Nick, are you a MMA fan, combat sports?
I am.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is something that happens in fighting quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And you can talk about what the game plan is all you want, but in the middle of a fight, when you get tired, you go back to your bad habits.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that's a little bit of what you took away from Ronnie Dyla. And if so, that goes to the patience that I was talking about, right? Mm-hmm. It's a new manager. There's multiple new pieces. It's going to take time before everyone gets on the same page, and you do break some of those habits. If anything, it's important that maybe he's recognizing some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Match day two. We are a long way to go. At least you're recognizing them now and figuring them out. I also talked to you about a pre-match conspiracy theory I had, and you agreed with me. I've got a post-match conspiracy theory that I have. We're also going to hear some of the highlights, lowlights, whatever you want to call them. We'll hear some audio from Mike and Jason on the other side, and we got to be critical of a guy that we really don't want to criticize right now, but what happened on the field happened on the field, and we got to talk about it next. He is Nick Leafy of Soccer Down Here. I'm Abe Gordon, and it is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon and Nick Leafy in the aftermath of a 2-0 defeat. Atlanta United goes down in their first road match of the season. Charlotte FC picks up the 2-0 victory. We'll listen to the highlights / lowlights brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Scoreless in the first half and off of what appeared to be an innocent clearance long ball in the 50th minute, Pep Biel gets on the end with a couple of mistakes made by the Atlanta United defense.
Emergency clear by Privet. Down the middle for Ajimong. It's headed away momentarily by Williams, but recovering it. Now is Ahu, who dribbles and passes, and the shot is converted by Pep Biel near the penalty spot. And Charlotte has the goal early in the second half.
And then just a couple minutes later, in a sequence that started eerily similar, what we thought might be just an innocent clearance takes an unexpected bounce, and after a save by Goose, eventually lands at the feet of Wilfried Zaha.
Byrne turning into the corner and pitching clear. It's over the head. And then it takes a bounce behind Ebron to Abada. He's in a 1v1 with Schlesch coming down the middle into the box. Shot. Save Guzan. Rebound Zaha. Score. Atlanta United is down 2-0 on two horrendous bounces.
So a little bit of tough luck, as we talked about, but there are ways to perfect that and close that up. And obviously playing a little bit safer on that second bounce. You don't need to attack the ball there. You're at midfield, and you know what's the green behind you. So if you're a Brom there, you probably can't go as aggressively. And if we're going to be honest, that first goal that comes off of a clearance, a header goes one way. It looked like it was going to go to the right side. It eventually comes back towards the middle. Look, Matt Edwards got caught looking. I think there was a good opportunity for him to have been in a better position to prevent that ball getting onto the foot of Pep Biel. And he didn't. He didn't do it. He didn't move. He got caught watching and expecting the ball to go one place. It didn't. And you have to criticize him for that. And look, it's not just criticizing the young guys. If we're going to be quite honest, in my opinion, Brad Guzan can't put the save on that second goal where it was. You can't put it back into the middle of the field, the middle of the box, especially not with Willie Zaha lurking.
See, there's 2 points to this. One is that as far as the Guzan save, I think if you ask Brad Guzan about that, he would say the exact same thing
right.
You just said. However, I will say that I don't think there was necessarily a ton of options there for
him.
He's
off balance reaching across his body.
Right.
If you look at it closely, it's tough.
Right.
But he'll tell you.
He would tell you, I imagine, the same thing. Yeah, I got to do a better job with that. I have challenges with the failed close down on Zaha. I have challenges with that.
Yeah.
I think that should have happened a little faster.
After the save.
The save. And then second, I would say that if you talk to any player, a second division player, third division player, whoever works their way up to the top, and you ask them about how, you know, what's the differences between, the playing styles. They'll tell you that it's the adjustment to timing, that the margin of error on space and time is it's a fraction of what it is in the lower divisions. And I think that that's what Edwards got caught with today, that a ball that he thought, okay, I can manage this quickly. Oh, no, I can no longer manage this. This is really bad. I think he caught himself in a couple of those situations where space and time worked against him, and it's a hard part of the learning experience in top flight soccer.
I've been watching the NFL Combine. We have it up here, and this relates back to Matt Edwards, I promise. But the difference between a guy that's running a 4-4-1 and a guy that's running like a 4-4-8, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the level of play that Matt Edwards is a little bit more accustomed to, he's probably out-athleting mm-hmm. most of those guys. Yep. And now at this level, that has shrunk,
mm-hmm.
and what was open as a wide receiver in college, the window for what's now open in
yes.
the NFL is a lot different.
Mm-hmm.
He left a guy open, mm-hmm. and there was no ability to recover because the other guy's as fast as him, and that's just what the MLS has become. The disparity or the difference between what's quote fast or what's quote mm-hmm. slow or whatever skill, however you want to, there are very small differences between the top and bottom levels in this league. And those mistakes get magnified, like you mentioned. We're hoping to have Brad Guzan pop to the podium, and then maybe we'll see what exactly he does say about that second goal, if he could have done a little bit more for that save. But from the Charlotte aspect of things, because I still have my theory, my conspiracy coming in our next segment. But from the Charlotte aspect of things, and we saw it with Lotte Loth in his debut in Atlanta. But the Zaha comes on.
Yep.
It's not the best goal that he's ever scored.
Right.
But you brought this guy to score goals mm-hmm. in a matchup against what I deem to be a rival. He puts one home. And they have to feel pretty vindicated about their pursuit and eventual signing of Zaha.
Yeah, especially if they attempted to pursue Almiron, did not get Almiron, and then said, okay, well, you know, we're moving all in different directions here, and everybody makes a big deal of how much money Atlanta United spent, and no one's really talking about the Zaha sign, you know, like bringing Zaha in, how that's going to work. But he's the one who makes Atlanta pay first, and at the end of the day, you're walking out with 3 points. If you're Charlotte, you feel absolutely fantastic because the talk around the media was this explosive attack that Atlanta United has, and they were thriving. Atlanta United was last week with vertical and incisive passing that was completely shut off by that Charlotte midfield and Charlotte defense.
He is Nick Alifi of Soccer Down Here. I am Abe Gordon. When we come back, further discussion of the 2-0 defeat. Also, we'll check in and see if any more members of Atlanta United have taken to the podium, plus my post-match conspiracy theory. All still to come on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United loses today. Charlotte takes all 3 points. It is 2-0. Both goals within 10 minutes of the start of the second half. Pep Biel in the 50th minute. Wilfred Zaha in the 54th. And I was just talking, and it's Abe Gordon and Nick Alifi here. Those goals kind of built up the same way. Mm-hmm. It was just a team that was pushed into their own end. It started with a clearance. Both of them just started with what should ultimately wasn't, but should be an innocent clearance. And just a couple of touches of the ball later, both of them found their way into the back of the net. They could have been handled differently. Certainly the second one was, I mean, you got a defender rushing and the ball just pops over his head. And that happens on a turf every once in a while,
right,
on a rec league at Silverbacks Park. Oh, that can't be happening at Bank of America Stadium in MLS play. So a tough goal. But you were saying the first goal maybe it just kind of happens by mistake. The second one maybe a little bit less so.
Yeah. And the first one, I think it was exactly as called. Innocent clearance. You got really lucky. And then the second opportunity comes up like that. It's like, well, it worked once. Why don't we try it again? And almost the exact same sequence of events occurs. This is like no different than your average 12-year-old Madden player who says, okay, we're just going to throw it downfield and pray. You know,
Hail Mary offense, baby.
Hail
I love
Mary
it.
Offense. We're going five wide. Fourth down, we're going for it. But
it's almost the equivalent of like a heat check in basketball. Like, I don't know, let's see if I can hit some more of these that shouldn't go in but do.
Yeah, and the problem with this kind of play is that occasionally it does work. And so
when you got multiple pieces of a back line that is not in there, you've got a guy making his second ever MLS start. You've got other guys that normally would play more central being left in space out wide. Right. Then yes, mistakes get made.
Yeah. But and look, for those who are newish to MLS, newish to soccer, there are a lot of coaches in Europe who are making a very good living with hoofing it down the field and just going for it. None of it's really sustainable. And I want to see how Charlotte, down the season, runs into teams that say, okay, great, we will drop a little further back to prevent these kind of quirky long ball, hoof it and pray moments that you're hoping for. Now you got to play through us. So how is Charlotte going to react to that? I would really like to see how that plays out in the long run. And I'd like to see how Atlanta copes with this kind of loss going forward as well.
Yeah, essentially Charlotte ran the Johnny Manziel college offense, right? Where they just chuck it up, and then ultimately it's Mike Evans. And then when Johnny Manziel gets to college, like you're talking about, teams adjust and defend it a little differently. Mm-hmm. You kind of scramble out the league and have some drug problems. That's neither here nor there. For Atlanta United, wants to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they're going to donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total, albeit just match day two, is currently at $0. But that will change when Atlanta United gets some of their defenders back. And also it'll change when Brad Guzan hits his top form. And he joined the assembled media there at Bank of America Stadium just moments ago.
We didn't do what we've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Okay. Brad, can you put your finger on what's happening with the team in the second halves of these past two matches?
No. I don't know why. It's not good enough to go from the half we had in the first half of last week and this week, and then to then see the response in both games for the second half is not good enough.
If it's hard to know what's going on, I guess how do you fix it?
Yeah, no, exactly. Honestly, both goals is just nothing balls over the top. We don't deal with them, and next thing you know, they're in our box. And at that point, anything can happen. So, we need to go back, look at it, and make sure this is the last time this happens.
Y'all had to make some changes to the lineup, put some guys in different places than you were able to train most of the week. But it didn't seem to bother the team in the first half, so I can't think that bothered the team in the second half.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Simple.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels like a trend. You kind of got away with it last week. You at least got the 3 points, but not today. It's just like bad habits in the players and the team, or?
I don't know. I don't think it's bad habits. We need to fix it and fix it quickly.
Hope said that he was referencing the teams playing the preseason and winning games in the preseason. And I asked him if he saw any bouts of this that kind of lost focus or whatever, like in the second half. And he said, maybe a little bit, but we weren't punished. Did you see any of that in the preseason matches?
To be honest, I'd have to go back and rewatch those games. And off the top of my head, I can't think of any crazy scenarios. I'm sure there were probably one or two. In terms of starting the second half during those preseason games, we didn't do what we've been doing the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And the preseason fortune, some weird formats, and maybe that sure. Also kind of took away from it. You felt maybe there was one or two instances?
Well, no, I feel like when I feel like what Brad's doing there is he's protecting his teammates. He's doing what a good captain should, right? So he's not going to call anyone to the carpet to the media. Now, whether that happens in the locker room or not, we're not privy to see. But the one thing that he did keep acknowledging was that there is an issue coming out of the second half.
Sure.
Across the board, there's an issue. You are, tactically, I don't know if, Ronnie Dyla and whether Rob Valentino were getting up and drawing smiley faces on the board and saying, all right, we're going to go out and execute this going into the second half. I highly doubt that occurred. But there has to be something occurring where – your first half performance and your second half performance are so vastly different, whether it's mentality, whether it's confidence, lack of confidence, tactical errors.
Let me tell you what I want to see before I go overboard on this. Sure. I want to see when they're outplayed in the first half and then how coming out of halftime looks, because I think there's an easy argument to say you played well at halftime. You felt you didn't need to make adjustments. You just keep doing what you did in the first half, and it'll come. It'll come. It'll come. And obviously, we saw that last week when you had one goal before half. And I do wonder what happens if you do get outplayed and maybe find your way to halftime at 0-0 and flip it around. Instead of going from good to bad, can you go from bad to good and see there, and then maybe make some comparisons and draw some conclusions? You talked about Brad not calling out some of his teammates, and I think that's a fair statement. When we come back, I finally have to get to my post-match conspiracy theory, which does include calling out some members of the team. So we'll have that for you in just about 5 minutes. He is Nick Alifi. I'm Abe Gordon. It is the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Nick Alifi of Soccer Down here, sharing some final thoughts on a 2-0 defeat. Atlanta United goes down at Bank of America Stadium at Charlotte. And I've kind of been teasing this for a couple days. We just haven't gotten around to it. But I think I have to get to my post-match conspiracy theory. Now, I had a pre-match conspiracy theory. You kind of jumped on board.
Yeah.
I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I feel pretty strong about this one, too.
Okay.
Feel free to jump on board, but if you want to counter, then feel free as well. Atlanta United made a four-pack of subs in the they kind of slighted them differently in the 72nd and 73rd minute. But three of those subs included Jamal Tiare, Edwin Mosquera, and Shonde Silva coming in for Latte Loth, Moranchuk, and Saba Lobjanidze. And to me, this is a message from Ronnie Dyla to the attack. to the attackers. And I don't know why or have an answer as to why Miggy wasn't also. Maybe that would have been too glaring of a message. At no point in this season did I expect to see Saba, Alexi, and Latte Lath all subbed out. Certainly not together. Saba has been very few and far between the times that he requires a sub. Alexi, unless he was dealing with health and fitness, really shouldn't be subbed out. And Latte Lath, I can understand that. But when you pair that with Saba and Maranchuk coming off as well, I think this is a message from Ronnie Dylan. He is unhappy with what we have deemed slam. And today, obviously, you're held scoreless. That's part of it. This was in the 70th plus minute, and so maybe he had to wait until it made a little bit more sense. You couldn't kind of go overboard and do it too early, right? You couldn't do it 10 minutes after half once you've conceded twice. You want to give them a little bit of time because, obviously, at that point, you've lost the game. It might be like you're just tossing the game at that point. But the conspiracy theory here for me is that that trio of subs is a message to the attack. I don't know specifically what bothered Dyla or why, but this to me felt like it was a direct and targeted triple substitution delivering a message.
I will disagree. But
how dare you, sir?
I know I'm horrible. But I will disagree, and I will say that to me it seemed like Ronnie Dyla looked at the match. He saw how flat the midfield was. He saw how flat the attack was and said, boys, we're not winning this game. And I am not going to risk the next three, four games on a potential injury to one of my stars for a game that at best, maybe we cut the lead in half with the time that's remaining. However, if you were to send a message, I believe that this would be the perfect time to do it. So I don't agree with your conspiracy theory. However, I will give some credence to the idea that if you were to do this, I think you picked a perfect opportunity to send a message.
It feels incredibly out of the ordinary that those three guys are off and off at the same time. And like, obviously, we'll see how the rest of the season plays off. I would almost bet that they don't come off at the same time the rest of the season. And that's why it jumps out to me. It's not even the fact that they're all off in the entire game. It's that they're all off within the same minute.
It was a hockey substitution.
It was. And you heard Mike and Jason's like three subs. Actually, it might be four. Like, it was that wild. And again, even if it's four subs, I get that. For to be three of the four subs, because the other sub was Matt Edwards and Tristan Moyamba flopping out there. But for those three to come in at the same time and be put to the bench, it just felt like there was something going on. And you're right. Like, obviously, at 2-0, you don't want to lose and do anything that's going to cost you the rest of this game. The other aspect, which you brought up off air, I'm now going to bring it on air and make it sound like I'm the genius, but I do credit it to you. Look, Mateus Klik did wake up with flu-like symptoms and was sidelined today. Was kind of emergency out of the game day roster. There is always potential that these flu-like symptoms spread around the team and that these guys just didn't have the full energy today. And we won't know, but I would imagine Mateus Klik was on the team plane and has been practicing with these guys in the locker room, in the weight room, and in training room, and in film room, and they've probably been around each other. And so there's also potential that a little bit of, and we're not trying to make mistakes or excuses here, but there is potential that also could have impacted a little bit of the fitness, and that leads into the health aspect as well. But I like to go with the message being sent.
I'm going to go with that. Look, I think that there's a couple of moments, and Mike called it out during the game. He said there's lack of press here from Atlanta United, lack of pressure. The press was absent. So was it that Charlotte didn't present the pressing cues necessary? And for those who are listening and new to the sport, for teams that situationally apply pressure, they look for a particular action to trigger that pressure, right? So, did the ball go to a certain player or did it not go to a certain player to trigger the press? Did it not go to a certain area to trigger the press? So I would like to know why there was an absence of the press in the second half. Because if it is these guys had no energy, then that makes sense. If you're just afraid that they're going to go over you if you press.
You're already down 2. Well, let's be honest. Let's cut it off there. You're down 2-0 10 minutes in. So that for most teams you would get more likely to press, to try and force something.
Correct. Because
who cares if you're down two, three, or four? You, you got to make something work.
Right.
So at that point, that's that. Atlanta United is returning home next Saturday. We have about 30 seconds here. Any early thoughts on this upcoming game against New York Red Bulls?
Get me as healthy of a possible defense so that way we can apply pressure as necessary and not have to worry about the back line. Just get me that, and I think we'll be okay.
That is going to do it for the full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to thank Dom Cherosky, our producer right here in studio. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United, safe travels back. For Nick Alethi right here of Soccer Down Here, I am Abe Gordon. Join us again at 6:30 on Saturday, March 8th. Over on our sister station, Star 94, for the next broadcast, as Atlanta United will take on the New York Red Bulls. Once again, the final today on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Atlanta United 0 and Charlotte FC 2. That's it for the full-time report.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Hear some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.